Welcome to The Mindful Dog Parent, the podcast for overwhelmed and anxious dog owners who are doing their best but still feel like they're getting it all wrong. I'm Sian, a trauma-informed coach and ethical dog trainer. I created this podcast because dog parenting isn't always cute reels and perfect walks. Sometimes it's tears after training, guilt in the quiet moments, or just feeling like you're the only one struggling. If you've ever said, I love my dog, but this is really hard, you're in the right place. Each week, I'll bring you calm, compassionate guidance to help you build confidence, regulate your emotions, and reconnect with your dog, even when things feel messy. Because you're not failing, you're just overwhelmed, and you don't have to figure this out on your own. Today, we're diving into something that comes up time and time again, both in my client sessions and in my past journey as a dog parent, and that is the myth of the perfect dog. And I always use inverted commas when I say the word perfect, because in our lives perfection isn't real. We think it exists, we strive for it, and as a recovering perfectionist, it is definitely something that I thought existed as well. That if you ever look at someone else's calm, obedient dog and you're thinking, why can't mine be like that? This episode is for you. I want to explore where these expectations come from, how they mess with our confidence, and what we can do instead, because knowing what we can do instead is definitely going to lead us down a better path. Now, I want to start with a confession. I used to is the biggest, boldest bit of this sentence, believe there was such a thing as a perfect dog. So that, for me, was the kind of dog who always comes back when you call them. They never really barked. They walked beautifully on the lead and they get along with every single person and every single dog and is basically just a furry angel. You see them in the adverts. You see them on Instagram. You see them in other people's lives, or at least you think you do. But here's what I want to say straight away. That dog doesn't exist. And I'm going to say it again and I'll say it again in the future. The perfect dog does not exist. Knowing what I know now, meeting the clients that I've met, every single dog has quirks. Every dog has triggers. Every dog's got moments that push our patience. But because we're constantly fed this idealized image of what a good dog looks like and what a good owner looks like, we're internalizing that standard that's just not real. And when our dogs don't live up to that standard, that is when the guilt creeps in and the self-doubt takes over, and the joy that we should be feeling for having this dog in our lives gets buried under the pressure to do better. And I think it's going to be a big point there around knowing and realizing and understanding that every single dog does have their quirks. Because try and think about this from a human perspective. As a human, there is no perfect human. However much people might think they're perfect and are striving for perfection, and as a recovering perfectionist, I am totally there with you on this one. I have been that person who strived for perfection before and holds herself to ridiculously high standards. It's not something that exists. I'm recovering from those negative aspects of perfectionism. Perfectionism doesn't all have a negative aspect to it. There are positives because it helps motivate you to continually want to improve and reach the goals that you want to get to. And they're really positive aspects of perfectionism that I don't want to lose. But trying to strive for perfection and internalize those pressures to try and aim for that perfection is definitely not healthy, because it just doesn't exist. You hit a target and you think, right, I need to get to the next one. There's no celebration. You don't slow down. You don't stop and kind of think about how far you've come. It's just, okay, what's next? What else do I need to do? But humans have their quirks. Humans don't get on with everybody. However much somebody tries to be a people pleaser, and again, this is coming from a recovering people pleaser, you're not going to be liked by everyone. So why would we expect our dogs to like everyone that they meet? It's just, dogs aren't naturally super social beings, however much we think they are. Yes, dogs have their dog friends. Absolutely. I've got two dogs and they love each other and they want to make sure that the other one's okay. If one's not feeling well, they know, and all those things. And grief is definitely a big one. So when another dog loses their dog family member, they feel it. So there's definitely bonds and connections that they have, but it's not with absolutely every single person that they meet, and they're not going to be friends with everyone, and we shouldn't expect those things, however much society tells us that that should be the case. So why do we chase perfection? I want to talk about where the pressure comes from, and there's three places that I think pressure comes from. So the first one is social media and the curated life. So we live in a world where we see everyone's highlights but none of the hard stuff, and I mentioned this on one of the previous podcasts where I try to find the real stuff on social media more so than anything else, because I think it helps to keep me grounded and helps me to steer myself into the right direction, because people are sharing more of the vulnerabilities now these days. But we still do live in a world where we see everyone's highlights and less of the hard stuff more than anything. Dog trainers can be posting those perfect heel work videos. Pet influencers are showing those sleepy dogs on pretty blankets and happy dogs posing for photos. But we don't see the meltdowns and the setbacks and the rough walks and the days where it all goes wrong. So we're comparing our behind the scenes, our whole life that we know and every single moment of, to someone else's showreel. And that's crushing, because it just isn't going to be realistic. We aren't going to get someone's perfect video as our life. So I just want us to kind of consider how realistic, how real some of these social media videos actually are, and how much work goes into some of these things in the background, and the things that they just don't want to share. And it's absolutely okay that you don't want to share those things. I'm not telling everybody they have to go out and share all of their life with everyone on social media, but just have some mindfulness when you go and watch those videos of the perfect dogs and the perfect humans that are working with them, what journey they've been on, because we don't know. Until we've walked in someone else's shoes, we don't know what they're going through. So that's the first one. So the second reason and the second place that the pressure comes from, and I've touched on it before, is our old beliefs and conditioning. So for many of us, our ideas of what a well-behaved dog should be were shaped in childhood, and I've touched on this already. In my head, the image of my dog Judy was, she was my best friend. We loved each other. She was amazing. I wanted that relationship with another dog again, because that is what I expected it to look like. We were told dogs should be obedient, submissive, quiet, and that good behaviour equals good ownership. So if we grew up with pressure to be well behaved ourselves, which I did grow up with the pressure to be well behaved, to be the good girl, to be the fixer, to be the one who never caused problems, I did cause my fair share of problems. Stories that I probably will share at some point, and one that springs straight to mind that I'll mention now is, I don't know how old I was, I must have been about 5 or 6 or something like that, and I hid my dad's wallet. Don't know why, just thought it would be fun to hide my dad's wallet in the house. And they were searching for it, and you know when things start to escalate and you start to panic and you think, oh, you know, this is serious. My dad was cancelling his bank card, my mum was panicking, lots of stuff. And yeah, that's just one example of me not being the good girl in that situation. I mean, my nan absolutely found it hilarious when I did eventually admit to hiding it way after it was it was too late by this point. My dad had cancelled his cards and all the things, but my nan thought it was hilarious. But yeah, that's just one story that's just sprung to mind when I think about the expectations that I have. I was too scared to kind of admit what was going on, because I had that expectation to be well behaved, and because in that moment I hadn't been, and I hadn't really thought about what was going to happen afterwards, it made me worry about telling them. And I remember saying to my mum, are you going to shout at me if I tell you something? So that's always that was my first instinct. I'm going to get shouted at and I'm going to get into trouble. So when we have those expectations on us, it's obvious we're going to have those expectations projected onto our dogs too. So the old beliefs and the things that we've been conditioned to definitely play a big part in where these internal pressures come from to have a perfect dog. And then the final biggest place that I think this comes from is what the identity of the good dog parent looks like. So there's a huge amount of identity wrapped up in dog parenting. And when we struggle, when our dogs are barking or they're pulling on the lead or they're reacting to something, if they're growling or ignoring us, it can feel like an absolute personal failure because we've started to attach our worth to our dog's behaviour. So our identity of as a human, as a dog parent, is attached to how our dogs behave, because when we're out and about, we don't want to feel embarrassed that it looks like we can't control our dogs, and that tends to be the reaction people think they have from other people when their dogs are reacting. I've worked with lots of clients with reactive dogs, and it tends to be the conversation of, it's embarrassing, other people are telling me that I need to have control of my dog and all the things. But here's the truth, your dog is not a reflection of your failure. They're an individual being, they have their own emotions, their own wiring in their brains, and their own experiences just like you do. So I really want you to think about how attached your identity as a dog parent is to your dog's behaviour and try to separate the two, because they're two completely individual things. And I think it will help take the pressure off. So when we let go of perfection, when we stop chasing the perfect dog and start accepting that the real one in front of us is who they are, everything just starts to soften because the pressure isn't there. So we're starting to let go of that perfection. We start to let go of those pressures that we put ourselves under. It doesn't mean giving up on the progress. It just means that we're shifting the goalposts from trying to be in control and to control our dogs to building that connection with them instead, and that relationship from obedience, so making sure our dog is obedient and doing everything we ask them to do and listening all of the time, to understanding, so we can understand what our dogs are feeling and how their experience in life or that moment in time, and supporting them through it. And from an image to a relationship, because I think that's where calm confidence comes from. It's not about getting it all right, but it's from building trust, attunement, and realistic expectations. So expectations play a big part in it. And I think when you let yourself be an imperfect dog parent, just lean into the messy bits, you get to breathe, you get to enjoy it, you get to show up without the shame that's weighing you down. And if you want to kind of investigate that a little bit more about kind of the shame and sometimes the guilt that comes with all of this pressure, listen to my previous episode 2, around dog mum guilt, because we go into it in a bit more detail. So I've just got a little reminder for the hard days, and I want to leave you with something gentle and true. Your dog doesn't need you to be perfect. They need you to be more patient, to be present, to be curious, and to be kind. And on the days it feels hard, when you're starting to spiral into why can't I get this right, I just want you to pause, name what's actually happening without judgment. So that's kind of verbalizing what exactly is happening and what that feeling is for you, and potentially what your dog's feeling, if you can start to understand the things that they're telling you through those subtle body language signals. Are they licking their lips and they haven't just had a drink or eaten food or expecting food? Are they starting to turn their head away when someone approaches? Are they turning their whole bodies away when someone approaches or tries to give them a hug or something like that, or handles them? Are they trying to protect something that they feel like you're stealing from them? Is there trust that needs to be rebuilt? Because if you name what's actually happening without judgment and ask, what do we both need right now? I think that is going to change everything moving forward. So I just want you to be patient with yourself and your dog. Be present for yourself and for your dog. Be curious about what's potentially happening, and to be kind to you and your dog on those in those hard moments. So if this episode's resonated with you, my freebie, Practical Strategies for Overwhelmed Dog Parents, is there for you to start kind of giving you some strategies when things feel hard. And it then can help lead into something that's a little bit more structured. My quick calm down kit is there for puppy parents and dog parents that can help as well, and has gentle tools to help you reset and find calm again, even when the days are tough. And it's also got things that you can then do with your dog. Once you have grounded yourself, there are strategies that you can use for your dog to help calm them down in the moment and then start to help them to feel calmer moving forward. You can grab the link to my freebie, Practical Strategies for Overwhelmed Dog Parents, in the show notes. And I'll also put a link to the Quick Calm Down Kit in there as well. And if you haven't yet, I'd love it if you could follow or subscribe to make sure you don't miss the next episode, because we're going to be talking about burnout and why being a good dog parent shouldn't cost you your well-being. Thanks so much for being here. I'll see you next time on The Mindful Dog Parent. Thanks so much for tuning in to The Mindful Dog Parent. If this episode gave you something to think about, or it just made you feel a little less alone, I would love it if you followed the show and shared it with another dog parent who needs it. You'll find all the links and resources mentioned in the show notes at lavendergardenanimalservices.co.uk/podcast. And I would love to stay in touch, so head there if you want to explore more ways to work with me or get support.